Hello, welcome back to Hooding, where we live our best lives on the internet, come out on the other side knowing more, but not feeling all that much smarter. And once again, we have the lovely and effervescent Diane with us on the mic today.
Yeah, I'm not Jay.
And that's okay.
We gotta rip off that band-aid for you right now. I am not Jay.
Jay's a busy, busy man. He's doing busy things.
His hair is red. He's going so fast, his hair's on fire. Okay. With that said,
yes, make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Check out our youtube.com/divepods for the full-length episodes of the podcast. Oh my gosh, Diane, what are we talking about today? Because I know this is a subject near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, so actually I'm the one who came up with this topic because I was asking myself, why do I hate my selfie? Yeah. So have you guys ever been low-key feeling your look? You know, and you turn on the camera for a selfie. Mm-hmm. Be like, other people need to know about this. And then you look at the picture and you go, no one can know about this.
Precisely.
Nobody can know about this photo.
No one can know that this exists.
Mm-mm. Oh, man. But have you had that moment where you're like, in the mirror, I see myself, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else either takes a picture of you,
mm-hmm.
or you go in for a selfie, mm-hmm. and you're just like, what is happening?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And it's so unfortunate because, you know, I have a lovely, hardworking staff that does my hair and makeup for things. And, you know, I want to show that off to the world. I want to show it off because they do a beautiful job. But sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, an alien. Not the hair and makeup, but all that else going on. Oh,
yeah.
What is that?
Well, I looked it up and mm-hmm. we're going to obviously go into it, but the summation is that it's not our fault.
Right, it's not.
Okay, but how is it not our fault?
So, hating your selfie, there may be a good reason. A new study says this comes from the Washington Post. A new study found that for many, the problem is not in the news. I don't know what that means.
I didn't even think that was the problem, but now they're making me self-conscious.
In the news.
That is the problem.
It's the distortion of the image created by the way they hold their smartphone cameras.
Mm.
Because you see, selfies don't work like mirrors. Instead, they're completely distorted, especially when it comes to the nose. According to new research published in the medical journal, JAMA, Facial Plastic Surgery, selfies make your nose look wider and thicker when it really isn't. And people like a smaller nose, apparently.
Well, that is from the perspective of a plastic surgeon. There is no, you know, objective,
right,
you know, reason to dislike a wider, thicker nose,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Love your
C'est
nose.
La vie. C'est la nose. Yeah.
Boris Pascover, a facial plastics and reconstructive surgeon at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School, and the study's lead author told CNN. So yes, once again, this is not Dive's beliefs. This is not Diane nor I believe. It's just coming from a plastic surgeon guy. Noted. The researchers looked specifically at selfies taken from 12 inches away, a common distance for someone snapping a selfie without the assistance of a selfie stick.
Not the assistance.
I don't know why I said it like that. Assistance.
Yeah, assistance. What means is acting up, I call him an assistant producer.
Sometimes reading is very hard. Yeah, reading is very hard. In a selfie taken from that distance, men's noses appear 30% wider and women's noses appear 29% wider than they actually are. What is the 1% missing from women?
I don't know. We're just so slim.
We're just so skinny.
We're just so, so dainty.
So fragile. Our nose has to be one less than men's. Happy International Women's
Happy
Day.
Happy International Women's Day. Okay, go.
A photo taken from the standard portrait distance of 5 feet, meanwhile, has no discernible distortion. Wait, 5 feet's the standard portrait length distance? I did not know this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not professional photographers.
No.
I'm sure there's some industry standard that exists, but
pretty sure.
Basically, it's just because of the way we're holding the camera at such a close distance,
mm-hmm.
because when you really think about it, you don't stand in a mirror the way you like hold a phone.
Exactly.
You know, like an inch beneath. You know how you take a selfie? You know how you take a selfie when you're just holding it.
Just like here. You're just like, yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, the way you see yourself is not the way you tend to hold your phone while taking a picture.
Plus, with these newer phones with like multiple cameras and whatnot, these mm-hmm. newfangled contraptions, you can always do like the zoom out camera, the zoom in, and that distorts everything.
Oh.
Like my legs will look a mile long and it's like, I am only 4'11".
Every phone that comes out and they're like, we can take, you know, we can see your pores. We
I don't
can,
like we that. Can,
and I was like, no. The grainier, the better. I want, you know, like filters. What is it? Like there needs to be like MySpace potato filter.
Yes.
We all looked stunning back then.
We looked so nice with the webcam filters.
We looked so good.
Everything's so blurry.
That
so
just,
good.
What is it? Like yellow light down mm-hmm. angle in the bathroom.
With that.
That's me at my prime. I wish everyone could see me in that way. Go for
the
it.
World must know about Diane. Share some pictures.
Oh.
Why do my selfies look so weird? This comes from Gizmodo. Selfies are usually taken with a wide-angle lens, which expands space, distorting the image to get everything in. This works great for landscapes, but not so much for your faces. You wind up with a bigger nose or a bigger forehead. This is why selfies are often taken at an arms extended as far out as they possibly can get or with selfie sticks. The closer the camera is to your face, the more pronounced that distorting effect is. Distance minimizes it, but the distorting effect is still there and it makes our faces look unfamiliar, which can be disturbing.
That is what I think when I see my photo.
Disturbing.
That is unfamiliar to me. That is disturbing.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, here, I'll take it over so you have a break.
Go ahead.
All right, lighting is also important. Most Instagram influencers have a good intuitive lighting sense because they're walking around constantly with their camera seeing what looks good. But there's actually kind of a science to it. You should be looking for soft, diffused light. This is why photographers use big softboxes. Actually, at Dive, we use softboxes.
Yep.
And I completely lost my place. Okay, diffuse light minimizes texture and volume, and hard light emphasizes it. Because hard light emphasizes shadows and contrast.
Oh, you're right.
Right? It's a little harsh. That's what they call it. It's harsh.
Harsh.
And so texture and volume on a face means wrinkles and zits and pores. Which is why when people pull out their camera on a sunny day at the beach, the results are often a disaster. Oh my gosh, Gizmodo. You've got hard direct light and a wide-angle lens and all you can see is the mole on your cheek. First of all, nothing wrong with a beauty mark.
Mm.
That's what we call them here. We call them beauty marks.
Mm.
Now, if you're talking about a spy who gets caught, that's a mole.
That's a mole.
Mm-hmm.
Or the little animal that digs on the ground. That's a mole. I don't have an idle image.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is very true. So, I also had to take a semester of photography back in university. And they said, people think, oh, it's so blue and sunny outside. Let's go take pictures. Mm-mm. What you want is a cloudy day because the clouds, think of that as your softbox, but outside. And you'll be much happier with those photos. Okay. And so, your selfies may look weird because when you're looking at a selfie, you aren't just looking at yourself. You are looking at yourself, looking at yourself. This engages with the uncanny because this selfie gives you access to your own double. Have you seen the movie Us?
Yes, the rabbits.
Yes, it allows you to see a version of yourself that is usually reserved for other people. The unreversed real self.
See, this is going into what I was going to talk about before we started recording. But the thing is with selfies and with mirrors, when you look at yourself, you are used to seeing your reflected image. You are not used to looking at you like Shichiro, like as is. So
it makes you wonder, other people feel this hatred when they see me.
Exactly. I mean, and you guys…
This is just anger.
No, and then there was this like trend that was going around on TikTok. It's like when people reverse the image.
Yeah.
And like that… It made me sad to see it because some people felt so insecure about their own face whenever they saw the unreversed image. But it's like… At the end of the day, even if we hate our selfies, somebody finds us beautiful at the end of the day.
That is very true, guys. I've had a boyfriend. So, you need to take hope in that. Yeah, no, for real. I think you have to take solace in that. I know that sounds like self-deprecating, but you got to be like, someone… I like you. There you go.
There you go.
I like you.
I like you.
I like you.
I like you.
I like you. Don't talk to me, but I like you.
Yes. Moving on. You look better moving, is what Forbes said. Well, thank God I'm a dancer. Okay, so according to new research by psychologists at the Universities of California and Harvard, most of us succumb to the frozen face effect in still photos, and it's not very flattering. Robert Post, the study lead, and his colleagues made their findings by asking a handful of participants to rate how flattering or attractive 20 people looked in 2-second video clips in 1,200 static frames taken from those clips. The faces were consistently rated as more attractive and flattering in the video clips than in the stills. And I suppose this is because when someone is moving, the brain captures multiple images of the face and averages them out across various positions. The more the brain captures, the greater the opportunity for the average of those images to appear appealing.
So this is when you want to be average.
Ooh, I guess. No, but you're right, though.
Right?
I mean, I guess.
The sum of your better parts.
Oh. And you know, I feel like that's why some people like, oh, this person videographs? That's a word. This person tapes really well, but they're not photogenic.
Yes. Okay. This is, I think it's pretty universal, but have you ever had a thing where like, oh my God, this guy is so attractive. Mm. And your friend's like, I want to see a picture. And you look at their Instagram and you're like, yeah. Let me, I can't find his Instagram. Like, yeah, what is it? And you're like scrolling for
it's
like…
It's like, oh no, I didn't find it. And you're just on your calculator.
But you're not doing that because you're like, oh, they're not that attractive.
Right.
And you want to find the most attractive photo. You actually are looking for the photo in your eyes actually accurately represents like what you saw in person probably, right? And so… I've noticed that a lot where it's like, you know, some people are photogenic and that's actually a thing. It's like the more symmetrical you are, you're photogenic, which I guess, yeah, when you're frozen, you're very attractive. But that doesn't mean if you're not photogenic that you are not attractive.
Right. Because the thing is, like, I know this happens for like a lot of people, but like, you know, maybe you know someone and they're pretty like average in photos, but then when you meet them in person, it's like, wow. It's like, wow.
Okay. No, that's very true. It's like, I've had a friend one time being like, okay, this is the guy I'm talking to. But don't judge the pictures. You have to like meet him and there's like an essence of this person.
Essence.
So that's why, you know, which essence I feel like also just straight means personality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just like that is something that you can work on and actually control. So
exactly.
Like if don't get too caught up in the still image of yourself.
Because at the end of the day, looks aren't everything.
It really isn't.
It's cliche to say it, but if nobody else is going to tell it, your internet mom's going to tell you. Looks aren't everything and you are beautiful to someone regardless.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I needed that.
You're welcome, Diane. Diane, you're beautiful. Y'all can't see your face because she got a mask on, but Diana's beautiful.
They couldn't handle it if I took this off. No.
The world wasn't ready. You can't show off all the goodies for free, Diane.
Oh. Like. Sierra. Sierra. Sorry. Okay, I need a break via song.
All right, well, we're gonna rest your weary ears, as Jay would say, with my song, Never Let You Go, Ore Mania.
Yeah.
같이 온 것 같아 우리 했던 말들 다 기억나 날 사랑해도 나만 생각해 널 보냈어
Emotional.
And now we are back from this emotional song.
Okay.
Yes. So, we asked you guys to ask us some questions and y'all delivered. So, we're going to skediddle-daddle hop right into there right now, shall we? This comes from Stay Happy Myself, a wonderful username. Mm. They ask, I'm a fresh graduate. Could you give some words to a job seeker like me?
Dan.
I guess I do, yeah, have experience with seeking jobs.
Mm.
You've got this. I feel like this is an episode in itself, actually. Mm. This is a good idea. Thank you for suggesting an episode idea. But to basically sum it up is know your worth. Like, know, you know, that you, what you can contribute, and you have to communicate clearly what it is you will contribute.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of times I've received resumes and people love to say, oh, I'm very enthusiastic. I'm very organizational, very broad, general, positive terms.
Mm-hmm.
But very rarely do you have someone who says, I've actually, you know, seen what you guys have been doing. And these are the ways that I would try to positively impact with like very real action statements.
Okay.
And to me, that makes me know that they actually know what, you know, my business or company is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that the moment that they start, I already know what they're going to do.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to actually be of use.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think being specific, knowing what you're worth and communicating that is probably your best foot forward.
Mm.
But
I would heavily agree on that. I mean, I don't have much experience like seeking jobs.
Did you have a part-time job ever?
I did. I started working when I was 15.
Oh.
I was a hostess at a sushi restaurant. So I sat people. And then eventually I upgraded to being a waitress. And then I became a sushi chef. And then at a different restaurant, I was a sushi chef and waitress again. And then I worked at Lush Cosmetics for about 3 years.
Oh, yeah, Lush.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that actually to me is more a confusing way to approach like applying. Because when you're young and you're just trying to find a part-time job, it's honestly not necessary because you're so passionate about hosting a Japanese restaurant or working at Lush, right? Because like it's a very honorable thing. You just need a side hustle. You need to have a stream of revenue. So how is it that you like got those jobs in the interview? Like, you know, because you're like a high school student. You probably don't have much of a resume.
Right. I mean, well, the thing is, the first sushi restaurant I worked at, where I got hired at like 15 and a half, my family has been going there for years. Before I was born, they went there. And so we basically grew up with the restaurant owner. We knew a lot of the staff. And whenever I became of age to work, because child labor laws, you know, my family was like, what if you tried to apply there and, you know, started as a hostess and then maybe you could become a waitress? And I was like, okay, because that's the age where it was like, okay, I have my own interests that I would like to pay for. Because I don't want to have to constantly depend on my parents for everything.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a little bit independent. So I started with that. You know, I sent in an email with my resume. With most restaurant jobs, typically they have you come in for one or two shifts and you shadow somebody. Like, you know, someone shows you the ropes and then they tell you to try it. And then, you know, they'll teach you the ins and outs of whatever you're doing. But I got hired as a hostess. And then even though I was already working at that restaurant, whenever you become a server, there's different training you have to do. When you become a sushi chef, there's different training you have to do. Like, there was a test for that one.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, before this, because it's a restaurant, you had to get your health food handler's permit.
Okay, yeah.
But sushi chef, there were, like, a bunch of rules you had to memorize and make them for, like, the test to remember the ingredients. And some of them were very similar. So if you left out an ingredient, like…
Oh, wow.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think also once you get the job, act like you can lose it any moment for at least the first few months. Act like you haven't been hired yet.
Right.
Right?
Always have a plan B.
That is very true.
Always have a plan B because you never know what's going to happen in life.
Yeah. You know, like, you know that girl who made $1 million selling MySpace wallpaper designs?
What?
I hope she had a plan B.
What?
Yeah, I read an article about her on 17 Magazine once. Whatever. I think about her. She bought a house. And I'm like, how long did MySpace last for you? Anyway, that is truly going off tangent. We got one last question.
Okay. This is a question for us. What's one song you wish you wrote?
You know me, writing songs.
We were talking about the one thing a few episodes back when you're like, well, I wrote a thing for like Tableau, but like…
Oh my god. Okay, that is you're speaking with that context because Nat is trying to make it sound like I was collaborating with Tableau of Epic High. That is not true. I texted him. I have I don't even remember what I texted him. There's like a phrase in Korean that I was like really obsessed with.
What was it? Oh,
내 말이. 내 말이. Okay, so growing up, obviously I grew up in the States, but you know, my parents speak Korean. And whenever my mom was a little, you know, having too much fun with her friends, I would hear in the distance her and her friends going, 내 말이. 내 말이. And it's because that they were gossiping. And 내 말이 means like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're taking the words out of my mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. My mom's here. I'm obsessed with saying that. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, I wish I had like a hype up rap song. If, you know, back in the days of pre-gaming when that was a thing.
Oh,
it'd be like a fun song to like hype yourself up with your friends, you know, like, 내 말이. And so I was like, Tableau, you're the only like rapper I know really that I can text this to. Can you make a song
with 내 말이?
With this phrase and this kind of feeling? And we actually like talked back and forth about it. And I think he was 100,000% humoring me.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I think he like reflects to how he probably speaks to Haru like as a dad. Being like, No, that's a good idea.
Stop.
No, you're so smart. You're so talented. I know.
Yeah, we could make
and now
it
that we're putting it out there, someone's going to steal it. But I want someone to make the song so that I can play it. So I actually welcome that. If you're a producer, PH1 Harry, if you're listening to this, I think he could do a good job. So, you know, anyone, I'll take it.
내 말이.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right? It'd be like a fun… Anyway, I'm a producer, whatever.
I'm picking up
music,
on it. I'm picking
film,
up on
TV,
it.
I'll do it all. Okay, about you? What's one song you wish you wrote?
Oh, well, not to say I like the song, but I think my parents would be in retirement by now if I did. I wish I wrote Baby Shark.
Oh!
I'd be rolling in the deep with the money. But I don't condone playing. Did they play it for like torture in federal prisons, I think?
They do?
I think I read that somewhere where like, you know, they put someone in like an isolation chamber and they just play that on loop.
Oh, I think I've heard of this. I don't know. We're going to have to check up on that.
I don't know. But Baby Shark, I'd be making mad money if I wrote Baby Shark.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Comes down to the bags. No. I don't talk like that. I gotta go. We gotta go.
She needs to leave.
Yeah.
So, with wrapping up the episode, we're just gonna remind y'all to send us your questions to hashtag Hiding and let us know what you think should be our next big topic to cover. Don't forget to check us on Instagram and Twitter at The Dive Studios, youtube.com/Dive Studios or /Dive Pause for full length episodes. And also check us out on Tickety Talk at The Dive Studios. Subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. Thank you very Kamsa. And.
Oh, thank you very Kamsa. Okay, everybody comes up.
Okay. Goodbye.
Koromayagit.
Neybody.
How did I get here? With Jay.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly 1 in 4 consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.